It is quarter to six on a Tuesday. That's going to feel like a Monday here. Going to have to work on that. It happens with Memorial Day and Labor Day. And you never know where the 4th of July falls. But we do have Jason Cans back on for the first time since Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
I saw pictures of power washing going on at the Cans residence yesterday.
Yeah, you know, it was, I had noticed a couple of weeks ago that not only did the front of our house look dingy, but there was starting to get like mold underneath the windows upstairs. And so we decided that since it was a longer weekend, we would take the time and get out there and try and wash it off. And so my lovely wife crawled up on the roof yesterday and did some power washing, and it took a good chunk of the afternoon to get it done, but we got it. So
yeah, it seemed like you could tell from the one photo I caught a glance of, it seemed like you could see the difference in terms of what was cleaned and what was yet to be done. So
that was partly why I posted that picture, is it was pretty astounding, the difference between them. And our neighbor actually came across the street and said, I didn't even realize your house was dirty until you started washing it.
So yeah, right.
Feels like there's a metaphor in there somewhere, but
yeah. Well, I had a chance to go to Milwaukee over the weekend, and the main point was a memorial service for a longtime family friend. We kind of paid tribute to him in this slot yesterday in your absence. 88-year-old Jack Albee went to be with the Lord. And so, but he really was a guy who lived out the whimsy that Bob Goff speaks of. And so people can check the podcast of that at wib.com. But one of the things, I saw a high school friend who I had not seen possibly since our graduation in 82, or at least the summer of. I mean, I haven't seen him for a really long time. And we had a good connection both before and after the service. And so I friended him on Facebook yesterday, and then it said, hey, so I thought, you know, I'm going to go beyond that and just send a messenger. And I said, so great seeing you and catching up. I hope you find relief from a little bit of an injury you're facing, and all the best. And so, and then when he didn't respond throughout the day, it messed with me. Now, he actually accepted my Facebook request fairly rapidly, but I just raised my hand and say, I agree with Jason Gray. We got Jason Gray, Jason Cans, all sorts of Jasons, but Jason Gray, when he talks about, you know, he's just his struggle with people pleasing and insecurity. And I'm still there, and it's a hard struggle out of it. I mean, I still was productive during the day, but it was just kind of gnawing at me like, you kind of overreached there. And yet in the end, here's the thing. He ends up responding at 6:40 last night when I was grilling. He's like, hey, good to see you and to meet Peggy. We'll be back in Wisconsin in a few weeks. Look us up if you make it. It was all positive. And so why is it? I mean, do you identify with that at all? Do you do that? You kind of, if given the choice, we kind of think the most negative.
Yeah. You know, I think that is part of the universal human condition. Well, maybe not universal. I think people who are truly settled in themselves can allow things like that to drift by. But I think many of us struggle with the people-pleasing part. I was thinking about it even just this morning. People-pleasing and avoidance of negative criticism seem to be two sides of the same coin. But, you know, I think in the world in which we live, there's this tendency to assume the worst. You know, you had said, did I overstep? I think that's a thing that I think, you know, or, you know, maybe the connection wasn't really there like I thought it was.
Right, right.
And many times I think it's something else that's going on. And unfortunately, I think one of the negative effects of our overly connected culture is when we don't respond to people right away, we assume the worst. We assume they hate us. We did the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, maybe they're not right on their phone all the time.
Right.
Or maybe they just need a break, and that's okay that they take the space to do that. And it's hard to move, I think, beyond that.
Yeah. So anyhow, it's a work in progress. And finally this morning, my goal had been to read John 13 through 17 and also to consume notes from the upper room. But like my getting in line at an all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant, my eyes are bigger than my stomach. So I did read John 13 through 17, finishing the last few chapters shortly before bed, a la all of the schoolwork I did throughout the years. But at the same time, didn't get to your book. But I wanted to suggest that since you actually wrote a book on those five chapters, that we starting tomorrow, start to unpack those, you know, sharing a little bit, you know, working our way through that and then seeing what you say in your upcoming book, Letters to the Beloved, from those chapters up to the release on October 25th and possibly beyond. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. You know that those are some of my favorite chapters in the Bible. So John 17 is number one. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
All right. So we'll start that tomorrow. Same bat time. We'll talk to you then.
Perfect.
All right. There's our friend Jason Kantz from jasonkantz.com.
It's a weekend recap. Even though it's Tuesday, we're still interested in what happened this weekend.
And we say as many times as we can that it's Tuesday so that we remember that it's Tuesday, because does it feel like a Monday? Does it feel like Wednesday? We're not really sure.
This is like the start of the new year. You don't want to get the year wrong on your check, you know?
That's right. So I will go first, if that's okay, because I had the most boring but lovely weekend, probably. The weather was fantastic, which was great. Gracie came home, my daughter, and I was with Kat and Zach a little bit. And we got invited over to their house for dinner. And it was so great to see my daughter and her husband make a dinner for us.
Yeah, they
used all their new stuff they got for their wedding. We had new plates, new glasses, and cooked on the new grill. So it was really super fun. And they live kind of near McDonough Park. And so the sunset, the light was very gold. And again, just love living in this state at this time of year. It was really beautiful.
And then you guys went and all played pickleball?
There was a tournament. We heard all of this. Did you hear that?
It's close by. It's close by.
So much physical activity. I shunned it.
There we go.
There you go. So it was a fairly quiet, long weekend, which, again, is very near and dear to my heart. I love that. And I have to say a couple highlights. For one thing, Spider-Man Far From Home. I had not seen that movie, but it's been out for forever. Finally watched it. Okay. Enjoyed it very, very much.
I love Spider-Man.
And a little grilling. Shout out to Janie Meats just up the road here from us in Halley. Got some of their brats. And so I had the beer cheese brats and the game day brats. And so did some grilling with Yum. That, enjoyed it very much. And then yesterday, didn't do a whole lot because as best we can figure out, I had a latent, like, 8 day later reaction to the wasp or hornet stings that I got. And so, yeah, I kind of had puffiness and swelling and rash. And it was kind of a Benadryl, ibuprofen, and rest day, which was maybe, you know what, in God's providence, maybe that's what I needed. I feel pretty chipper today. So
Yay, chipper.
My wife and I headed to Milwaukee and back from Friday to Sunday, and the main focus, again, saw family, but there was a memorial service for a longtime family friend, Jack Albee, on Sunday, so got a chance to see some high school classmates, some I hadn't seen in like 40 years.
Wow. Amazing.
Others maybe 20 years, and so wonderful tribute to him, and I took a few minutes yesterday at 5:45 and talked about him as well. So that was a big part of it, and got home in time to get a little bit done around the house. So there
we
go. So.
There you go.
So when you saw your friends, did the years just slip away? Did you say, I can't believe?
I mean, this whole, starting to talk about the challenges of being in our upper 50s, actually.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday trivia time on the WIB Wake Up Show. 715-723-2555 is our studio line. Your chance to call in and win. And this morning we have not one but two prizes for you. We have the Chris Tomlin and Friends album, and that features all sorts of artists from Nashville. In the mainstream, Florida Georgia Line, We the Kingdom, Lady A, Need to Breathe, Cassidy, Pope, Brett Young, et cetera, teaming up with Chris Tomlin. So we have that, and we have two tickets to MyCon Cinemas. And a quick plug for MyCon right now. There's a new film from the Kendrick Brothers, their first ever foray into documentary filmmaking, called Show Me the Father, that opens this Friday. And so Jim Daly from Focus on the Family, NFL players, a lot of stories, again, about the power and impact of fatherhood. And Connie from MyCon told me, hey, can you get the word out? If anybody goes and sees this movie, Show Me the Father, they'll give you a dollar off your ticket for Courageous Legacy, which you're going to be hearing a lot about on the station, the 10-year anniversary edition of the film Courageous. So see Show Me the Father, powerful film about fatherhood. See another film about fatherhood 2 weeks later and save a dollar if you save your ticket stub. So just that quick plug for MyCon. This morning, our question is this. Texas, the state of Texas, takes in the largest amount of tourist dollars. Which of the 50 states takes in the least? Largest amount of tourist dollars go to Texas. Which of the 50 states takes the least?
You've got 49 other choices. It's 723-2555, 723-2555.
For those two MyCon movie passes and the Chris Tomlin and Friends CD, 715-723-2555. Largest amount of tourist dollars, Texas. Which state takes in the least amount of tourist dollars? And the thing is, what immediately pops into your head is, well, what about Florida? What about California? I'm eliminating some for you because you think, hey, there's you're thinking which states do take in a lot of tourism dollars.
Right.
So, yeah, you can eliminate those.
So don't pick like a Disney state or those would be high tourist.
715-723-2555. Hawaii would be another one that seems to take in a lot of tourist dollars, so you can eliminate that as well.
We're down to 46 possible choices.
Yes. Texas takes in the largest amount of tourism money. Which of the 50 states takes in the least for a CD and two MyCon Cinemas movie prizes?
All right, to the phones we go. Hi, our first guesser. What's your choice?
Mississippi.
Mississippi. It's because they make you spell it as soon as you cross the border. It is not Mississippi, but please call us
back.
That's
a great guess, though.
Yes,
because I've never said, dang, I wish I could go to Mississippi.
Hi, what's your guess?
Utah.
Utah.
Not Utah.
We have the Olympics there once.
Yeah, and lots of skiing, maybe. Yeah. But good guess.
Down to 44 possible choices. Hi.
What do you think? Which state takes in the least amount of tourism dollars?
All right.
We can hear some.
All right. Try calling us back.
Hi, WWIB. What's your guess?
Montana.
It's not Montana. Beautiful, beautiful state. Which state takes in the least amount of tourism dollars?
And no sales tax, we found out.
Yes, I did find that out when I forgot my swimsuit. So $9 at Walmart.
What's your guess?
Nebraska.
That's a good guess. Not correct.
A lot of corn husking
out
there.
But yeah, I've never said, oh, I wish I could go.
I've been to Nebraska before. College World Series. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Lewis and Clark Trail.
Hi, what's your guess?
Alaska.
It is not Alaska. A lot of cruises and things going on up there.
Yeah, my friend Cindy just posted pictures of like this huge halibut they caught in Alaska.
In Alaska.
It looks really beautiful.
Hi, what's your guess?
New Mexico.
I don't know anything about New Mexico.
Land of Enchantment.
All right. Do they test like bombs out there?
I hope not.
We're getting a lot of guesses. Hi. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Ohio.
Ooh.
Rains a lot out there. Went to college there. What does Caleb think about each state in one or two words?
Let's give a hint.
Okay.
East Coast.
Which of the 50 states takes in the least amount of tourism dollars? Texas has the most. This is on the East Coast.
What's your guess?
For two MyCon movie passes and the new Chris Tomlin album, Chris Tomlin and Friends. East Coast.
Hello?
East Coast.
Maryland.
Oh, no.
Go further north.
A little. That's so cool. You know geography and you know it's a little north.
A little bit.
Hi, what's your guess? All right.
East Coast. North of Maryland.
Any guess out of you?
New Hampshire.
I don't know anything about New Hampshire. Somebody get it right because I'm running out of factoids.
Almost. We're getting there.
We want to send someone to the movies and give them the new Chris Tomlin album. Again, this state takes in the least amount of tourism dollars.
All right, what's your guess?
Rhode Island.
Yay!
Yes, it is Rhode Island.
You did it!
Who are we talking to? Who are we talking to?
This is Dale Gumnes.
Dale, great job.
Good job, Dale. All right, tell him what he won, Caleb.
You just won two tickets to Mycon Cinemas to see a movie of your choice and the new album Chris Tomlin and Friends for correctly knowing that Rhode Island takes in the least amount of tourism dollars. However, just to give Rhode Island its due, it's home to several large cities, including Newport, which is famed for sailing and Gilded Age mansions, such as the Breakers.
That's
Providence
right.
is its capital, and it's home to a few other things that aren't that interesting.
But, of course, and we could add the huge hint, it's the smallest state, right, geographically. So.
Oh, that may be,
Good job, Dale. Way to go.
Thank you very much.
Stop by and see us and get your prizes, my friend. All right?
Okay, thank you.
What a beautiful legacy this couple has left in England. A couple who fostered over 600 children in 56 years have retired. Pauline and Roger Fitter, Pauline is 81, Roger's 86, fostered kids of all ages, including newborns, teenagers, and everyone in between from as far away as Belarus and Lithuania. They also raised five kids of their own in a four-bedroom home until this year when they retired.
I remember when Michelle Bachmann ran for president and from Minnesota, the congresswoman, and it was noteworthy that she and her husband had had 20-some foster
kids. That's amazing.
Over 600 in 56 years. Wow.
That's so beautiful. Well,
if you look at this then, so she, Pauline, the mom, would have been 25 years old. And he would have been 30. And a lot of times you think, well, you know, we'll wait. We've got,
right.
We'll wait till our kids are grown. We'll wait till this happens or that happens. And they just said, there's kids who need a home. They need someone to love them, need someone to wrap their arms around them until the storm passes by. And so 620 children were loved in this home, taken care of in this home. Over 56 years. How cool is that?
Yeah. And it says the most children they ever looked after at one time was 11, which included their own. They put up tents to squeeze them all in. I can just imagine. And the thing that I admire so much about foster parents is you don't know how long you have that child.
Yeah.
And it's you don't guard your heart because you want to give them the love that they need during a difficult situation. And the fact that they poured themselves into the lives of all these kids, we will only know in heaven how much worlds have been changed because of this couple, Roger and Pauline.
And to me, the story really speaks to the fact, I mean, there is such a need for foster care. You even see, you know, yard signs to that point. They need substitute, they need employees for everything.
Right.
But I mean, it's such a need. And you don't have to do 620 kids in 56 years, but
make a difference for one.
Are you willing to start with one?
I'm afraid, but I might be. I'll ask. You know what? I'm going to pray about it because it always captures my attention when I see this, and it seems very admirable.
One more note on Pauline and Roger. They married in 1965, fostered their first child, a baby boy, later that same year. And so many times we think about, again, it's like, well, what about the honeymoon stage in our marriage and all these things, too?
That's right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
But what happens? How is a life well lived when you say, you know what, whatever God calls us to do, we're going to do it and we're going to think about others first. And man, this side of heaven, we might not know.
Right. But so inspiring. So and I love stories like this because they kind of make you think, wow, the bar's pretty high on what people can do.
But just start. What can you do today?
Yeah.
What can you do today?
That's right. Sanctification. You belong to God. You can expect that process to last your whole life. What is sanctification? It's the process God uses to free us from sin and make us holy. Holy, set apart. And we get impatient with it because I think we're all very aware of our faults and our struggles. And sometimes we think, why is this taking so long? And I had that experience over the weekend. And I was thinking, you know what? Sanctification, if I think of my life as a page in a coloring book, and it's in black and white, and it's basically you get some colored pencils out and someone's coloring in, and they're adding colors, and gradually little parts of the picture is getting filled out. And if God is doing the coloring, I may have ideas about what color he should use and what part of the picture he should be coloring. But he has a plan. He knows what he wants to deal with and when. And I can trust, like Philippians 1:6 says, that once he starts this coloring book page, he will bring it to completion. And at the end, I will look, once I reach glory, I will be the Susan he originally created me to be, free from sin, free from all the trouble and struggles. But while I'm watching him color, it can be difficult, but I need to trust him that he will pick the colors, he'll pick the part of the picture, and I do not want to wrench the colors out of his hand and write weird things in the margins or ruin the picture. So that's what I thought. My sanctification is like a coloring book.
I love that.
Okay.
I love that. I mean, and sanctification, right? It's something that never stops this side of heaven.
Mm-mm. No, and it doesn't happen as quickly, but I think if I had it happen any more quickly, it might kill me. So, and there's probably more of the page done than we realize because we don't always see the whole picture right now.
I'm going to think about that now every time my kids open their coloring books and kind of we have one of those keep quiet bags in church.
There you go.
That's great. I love it.
All right. That's it. That's all I got, guys.
I was looking up Philippians 1:6 even as you were doing it, and then you referenced it. So just for the record.
Good.
Let's go New Living. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns.
Yay.
Or as Ann Wilson sings, My Jesus, WWE.